Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 11:02. Pat, hang in there, all right, with your stomach. His stomach's feeling better, by the way. Run to the toilet throughout the course of the night, eating too much cheese on Christmas Day. Pat, you're lacto. Pat, can you come here for a second? You're a very clean eater. You're lactose intolerant, correct?
That's right.
All right. So when on Christmas Day did you? When was the breaking point on Christmas Day when you realized that you ate too much cheese?
So,
give us a feel for the day. So like when did you hear?
So my girlfriend brought an assorted basket of meats and cheeses from this this deli in Philly.
Okay.
It was like a huge block of Gouda, another huge block of like a sharp provolone, beautiful sliced up pepperoni, the fig honey jam, white truffle. So
nice cracker cheese.
Yep.
Nice
and crackers. I probably had about, 35 of those. Like cracker, slice of pepperoni, slice of cheese.
But you're lactose intolerant.
Honey jam. Yes, I had about 35 of those, and I am lactose. I used to be really bad. I used to have to take lactaids. You know what lactaids are?
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, if you're going to eat dairy, take this so your stomach doesn't explode. So I used to have to take those all the time. It was really bad.
All right, so you started, the party started what time?
We probably started eating, the appetizers. It was like 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, started eating the appetizers. What point were you like, oh my God, I've got issues? After 2 o'clock.
After dinner, I think that...
6?
No, about 6:30.
6:30?
And then I think like most people feel on a holiday after you eat
Lamar
a ton.
Ran it in, it was 24-2.
Lamar ran it in and I ran it into the bathroom.
You run to the bathroom?
And then I came back out and you feel like you got the second win for dessert. So then there was more dairy.
You went back in?
Of course I went back in! It's Christmas!
No, you can't go back in, dude. Like, you have to realize, you got to put up the white flag. That's a terrible job. Like, you got to put up the white flag and realize that I am not winning this battle. It's over.
Almost, you got cannoli cake. You can't
eat it. Lactose intolerant. You can't eat it.
Well, I did. And that, like I said, it used to be really bad. Now it's to the point where if I have, a glass, I don't have a glass of milk, but if I have a little ice cream or if I have a little, cheese, like a slice or two of cheese on a sandwich, I'm for the most part fine. But when it's dairy compounded by more dairy compounded by more dairy, then we have issues, and we had issues.
Yeah, I feel for you, man.
Houston wasn't the only one that had a problem last night.
I know. I heard this morning you were late.
I wasn't late. I got here, it was like 5:45.
You made it on time.
Which is later than I
what
normally...
you should be.
Yes, and especially, Monday.
Was it a tough car ride?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be honest.
I'm sorry, Pat.
Because I was, there was a lot of clenching going on.
That's a rough Christmas.
Because there was a lot of waking up last night and up until 4:30 in the morning. And, by the time I left my apartment this morning, I was hoping that I wasn't going to have to pull over.
All right, but just as someone that was, not at the Boyle Christmas celebration, just an outside observer, based on the story that you just told, you deserved your own misery. You basically, you danced with the dairy dance, and the dairy won. I mean, you paid for it. You went out there, like having one slice of cheese is different than pounding an entire cheese board that your girlfriend brought you, and then realizing you made a mistake, and then going back in for more dairy, realizing your stomach is turning over as it is.
Yeah, well, I thought I had Rami. Now Rami's fueling the fire right now.
What did you say, Rami? You could say it on the air.
Rami, you want to say it on my ear? Say it on the air.
Say it on the air.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, you. Yeah, you.
Why not?
Baby.
Why not say it on the air? Is it clean?
I said more clenching. It's not clean.
Oh,
I mean, you're not cursing.
I said more clenching than Luigi Mangione. That's all.
Oh, stop. you can't say that.
Don't
say that.
Well, like I said, I took my stomach, for a beating, and then I thought I had cleared it. Thought we got past the worst of it, and so I was like,
Merry Christmas, I'll go back
in for dessert.
Merry Christmas. You deserved your pain.
Thank you.
You earned it.
Well, I appreciate that.
I mean, that is just, it's not a smart decision.
So what do you think?
I love you.
What do you think? I leave here, bacon, egg, and cheese, right back to it?
No. No. I'd eat, you're a very clean eater.
For the most part.
I do something to get yourself back, your stomach back on the straight and narrow.
On the up and up.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I've got an all or nothing mentality. So like I said, when I do decide to.
Yeah, I could tell. Yeah, you're all in. And you paid the price. Good job.
I'm still paying it.
Get some lotion. You might get chapped. A lot of wiping.
Thanks, Moose.
You got it. That's a terrible. What a Christmas. I mean, God. I mean, what a Christmas. Anyway, 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Let's head out to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. It's Lawrence. It's the fan. What's going on, Lawrence?
Hey, thanks for taking my call this morning. Before you were talking about the Giants and like, yeah, that's really where the Giants are at. We need to lose. And if we don't lose, I'm already a fan of firing the GM and the coach because the team sucked and it hasn't gotten any better since they've gotten here. But if we can't manage to lose these games, man, what are we going to do here? You know what I mean? We need the first round pick, and that's the only thing we have to hold on to all season. It's the only thing that's going to give me any type of joy as a Giants fan is if I get that number one overall pick, and that's it. If you don't get that, then just burn it all down.
I think you're going to get the number one overall pick. I think the Giants are going to lose out. Like I don't think you need to. I don't think they're beating the Colts on Sunday. The Falcons defense outscored the Giants offense Sunday. The Giants led the game 7-0, lost the game 34-7. What would lead you to believe something's all of a sudden going to change this Sunday against the Colts?
No, there's no. I have no hope. I've had no hope all season. I went into this season knowing it was a patchwork offensive line again, and a non-existent secondary. I didn't think we were going to win any games this year, and I was hoping to be in this position. So they better follow through and get me the number one overall pick. And also, I don't think a quarterback fixes the team. What they decide to do is up to them. But if they do get the number one overall pick, what are we going to do with that? Do you go quarterback? Do you trade back?
No, then you're going to draft a quarterback. You're going to draft one of the guys. You're going to draft Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. That's what you're going to do if you get the number one overall pick. As long as you think one of those two guys, and I would have to believe that they do, one of those two guys they believe in being their franchise quarterback, and they might believe in both. They might believe in, and both have different skill sets. They might believe that both are capable of being franchise quarterbacks. Then they're going to have the hard decision of choosing one over the other. Let's head out to Brooklyn. It's Andrew. It's the fan. What's going on, Andrew?
Mark, how you doing, man?
Andrew, I'm doing well, man. How are you, buddy?
Doing okay, thank you. Wanted to talk a little Knicks. From the beginning of the season, I would look at the box score, and one of your previous callers mentioned it. Of course, the minutes played, you would like a little less for the starting five, and he mentioned the bench getting more minutes. I just personally feel the bench isn't that talented. You know, I like the team, but I personally feel we're one move away. We got to get one more body to come off the bench to relieve the scoring duties off that starting five. I mean, when you look at the Knicks, this year they have two first-round picks, but they're both protected, and it's Detroit and Washington. So it's safe to assume they're both going back to those teams. But you're the GM. What would you do? Or if you feel like this team is good enough to win it, what do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, Andrew, I agree with you. That would be a concern, offense or depth. Robinson can help defensively coming off the bench, but you're looking at and more of an offensive piece coming off the bench, right? Conceivably speaking, right. What, DiVincenzo's role was, when everyone was healthy, where he was kind of that instant offense coming off the bench, where he was kind of leading that second, Vinny Johnson, the microwave was for the Detroit Pistons years gone by, and other guys have been, right? That like kind of six-man role, IQ, what IQ, Emmanuel Quickly was coming off the bench. Yeah, Andrew, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I mean, I like Deuce McBride. I get concerned. The two areas of concern I have about this Knicks team when I look at them is the overall depth of the team outside of the top five, outside of the top six or seven. When you're going eight or nine, withstanding, say, some injuries during the course of the season. And the other aspect I have concerns about, getting big-time stops when they need it. Right. You know, and hitting the glass.
And that's the whole thing. Like, barring any injury, that's the thing. I feel like we can't afford any injury if we're going to win at all. Hence why I feel we should try to get somebody at the deadline. But who could that be? I don't know. Don't know who's available, but I feel we one more move away. But thanks for the time, Mark. Appreciate it, man.
You got it, Andrew. Appreciate it, man. It's good to be talking these kind of storylines with the Knicks, though. I'll tell you that. Scarsdale, we go. It's Walter. What's going on, Walter?
Good morning, Mark. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Walter, happy holidays, brother. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. Have Merry Christmas. All the good stuff during the holiday season. What's on your mind, buddy?
I'm watching Knicks basketball since 1960. I'm 78 years old. I saw some terrible teams, but I was lucky enough to see the 70 and 73 championships. In 1969, the Knicks made a move to trade with Detroit when they got Dave DeBuscia for Howard Coleman. Turned the whole organization around, and I see an amazing comparison with OG and DeBuscia. They're the same exact player. They can hit the jump shot. Both of them fantastic defensive players. A lot of the Knicks players remind me of that Knicks team, like Willis and Cat. Cat is supposed to be soft. That's what everybody says. He doesn't look soft to me. He looks really good. I know Willis was really tough, but they both hit the outside shot. They're both great rebounders. And, of course, you got Brunson and Clyde. I'm not comparing their ability. Clyde is one of the greatest players I've ever seen. But the style of play is so similar, and hopefully this will, equate to the same type of result with the Knicks this year.
Well, we'll see. I mean, can the Knicks win a championship for the first time since 1973? We'll all find out together. But they're part of the conversation, right? And, it's a fair comp when you're looking at OG and DeBuscia and what Anunoby is able to provide to this team and how he's able to guard multiple positions, the length that he provides. There's a lot to like, and you like the game plan that the Knicks had, starting obviously, losing out in the big sweepstakes, signing Randall, what Randall meant initially, then, with Thibodeau, then Brunson and Hart and DiVincenzo, and then the trade for Anunoby, and then the eventual trade, obviously, for Karl Anthony Towns. And Mikal Bridges. I mean, it's a lot to like about executing a game plan, having a vision for what this team is going to look like on the court, and then seeing the results on the court. So, caucus, we go. It's Joe. It's the fan. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy to be here, my friend. For you, sir.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Joe. What's on your mind, buddy?
All right. I know you can call me crazy, and I apologize, but I think there's other quarterbacks that we could get in the third, fourth, and fifth round, and we could do something else. I mean, we need wide receivers. We need pass rushers. We need linebackers. These two guys coming out, Mark, I don't follow college that well. I don't know about them. But for some reason, they don't impress me. I think we could use other positions.
Wait, Joe,
and
why
put a good quarterback?
Joe, you don't watch college football.
Yeah.
All right, so
I do not, correct.
Okay, let's formulate like a discussion, right? So you don't watch.
Okay,
I'm picking on you a little bit, right? So you don't watch college football, but your take is that Shawn Sanders and Cam Ward are not worthy of being the number one overall pick, but you don't watch them play.
Correct.
How does that fly?
I think we need more things, and we can wait till maybe a third, fourth round in this draft to get a quarterback. I think you can use a stud linebacker. You can use a stud pass rusher. You can use a stud wide receiver to put with Neighbors.
Joe, I don't have it. No, the most important position, and Joe, thanks a lot for the call. The Giants need a lot. They do when you look at the overall roster. So I understand where you're going. What's the most important position in the National Football League? The most important position in the National Football League is the quarterback. That is if you don't have one, you're in search of one. If you have one, you're holding on to him, like he's worth gold. They get paid an unbelievable amount of money because franchise quarterbacks give you an opportunity each and every year to do what? To help you win. They can make up for great deficiencies when you're looking at your roster. That's what a quarterback can do and that's what you want to see, right? The ultimate goal is to play relevant football late in the season, to go to the playoffs, win playoff games, and potentially go out there and win a Super Bowl. You're not going to win a Super Bowl every single year, but what a franchise quarterback does do is gives you an opportunity to realize that goal in any given year. When you are in search of a quarterback and you're trying to find one, or you're looking for a stopgap measure, you know what? It, more often than not, it does not work. Sometimes it does. Look at what the Minnesota Vikings this year are doing with Sam Darnold after drafting J.J. McCarthy. Then he suffered the knee injury during the course of training camp, loss for the season. It has worked this year for the Minnesota Vikings. For the Giants, though, as they are trending, as this season is careened out of control and they are absolutely terrible, the Giants are going to have the number one overall pick. I do not think they're beating the Colts, nor do I think they're beating the Eagles in the final week of the NFL regular season. So I do believe the Giants will have the number one overall pick. And with sitting there with the number one overall pick, I do believe they will draft either Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward with that number one overall selection. Why? Because they need a quarterback. And with the work that they've done as a scouting department on both players, I think that, you know, one of them will be the apple of their eye. They've got to choose correctly. But this isn't about trading back or drafting a linebacker or drafting an edge rusher. I mean, you traded for Brian Burns. You drafted Kayvon Thibodeau. You know, you've got Dexter Lawrence on the inside when he's healthy after loss for the season after dislocating his elbow against the Dallas Cowboys. Like, there's enough there. You're not going to go out there and address the offensive line with the number one overall pick when you need a quarterback. It starts with the quarterback. For every NFL team. And that's what the Giants are in search of. Year in and year out, for the better part of 5.5 years, we've had conversations on this very radio station about Daniel Jones, what he is, what he isn't. And ultimately, he wasn't good enough. You had people running around believing that what they saw last year was Tommy DeVito was real. It wasn't. More of a sideshow than anything else. We've all watched this year. Drew Lock is terrible. Now the question you have for the Giants is, it's not what they will do with the number one overall pick. It's those that make that decision about who they select. Those that are at the table, when you look at the general manager and the head coach, and believing in their vision, with all the noise surrounding this organization, with every single Giant fan, you know, going on rants on social media, calling this very radio station, hopping on, you know, flying planes over MetLife Stadium before games, the last two home games. I'm sure there'll be another plane this Sunday when the Colts are in town. Why not? It's a trend. Three in a row. But if you're the Giants co-owner, John Mara, do you believe enough in GM Joe Shane and head coach Brian Daboll withstand all this and say, yes, even with their failures the last 2 years, I still believe in their vision. They will be the guys that will lead us out of the darkness and into the light. Feel like Batman now, but you get what I'm saying. Draft the right quarterback. Develop that quarterback. Have a game plan. Get back to winning ways for a very proud franchise. That where losing has become well too commonplace. That's the decision the Giants co-owner John Mara is thinking about during the holiday season. And he should. Because as frustrated as you are, I'm sure he's just as frustrated, if not more. 1120, Melusis with you. In for BT and Sal. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Come back. We'll talk a little Rodgers, a little Jets. Mix a little bit more football into the conversation. We'll do that next.
Talk about your Giants on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Levis 28 on this Thursday midday. The Fan in New York. Talked a little Giants, closing out last segment. You know, I don't know what to make of where we stand or where everything stands for the most part with any concrete evidence about Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets and his future. I think it'll be, it's been a long year, let's be perfectly honest, for New York football. The Giants, which we've gotten into a little bit this morning, but, you know, you could talk about that till you're blue in the face. And obviously all the shenanigans that are going on with the Jets down in Florham Park and the other state of dysfunction with Woody the Bobs and his two teenage sons led by Brick So you look at where this organization is, you know, the Rodgers every week on with McAfee, meeting with the media, trying to decipher what exactly he means, even though the losing continues. Rodgers wants to go out there and continue to play as they're taking on the Bills this weekend, even dealing with the MCL sprain in one of his knees and, you know, just how banged up he was early part of the regular season. You know, and I know that Rodgers doesn't have the success here in New York has obviously led to it, but those that are around Rodgers maybe, you know, and that cover him on a day-in, day-out basis, there's not that soft landing spot, right? So there's not going to be out there that anybody going out there and supremely defending him, saying that, you know, he should be given another chance to roll it back here with the Jets or that it's going to be an unmitigated disaster again. Well, I'll tell you this. My question to all those that, you know, call Rodgers out and, you know, say he's a narcissist or... You look at the fact that he's force-feeding Davante Adams and the relationship or lack of chemistry that he has with Garrett Wilson, and you look at where this organization is right now, who exactly would you roll with next year at quarterback if you're the New York Jets? Like, where's the guy? Like, tell me. Like, run the list down. Who are you rolling with? Jameis Winston? I mean, who's that? And therefore, and I'm not telling you, I don't even know if Aaron Rodgers wants to continue to play. And yes, I think Rodgers is going to cover himself by throwing himself, by mentioning the fact of whether or not he wants to continue playing football because he really doesn't know the football landscape. You know, he's a, you know, lightning rod of an individual. Clearly, his play is not what it once was. Now, you look at him, statistics tell you some of the story. They don't tell you all the story. But statistically speaking, he hasn't really been god-awful this year. He really hasn't been. You look at his touchdown-interception ratio, it's 3-1 on the season. That's not bad. That's good, comparatively speaking. Now, there's been regressions in other areas of the team, but, you know, he is going to be, you know, he's 41, soon to be 42, or 41, and he's going to be 42 next year, next December, I believe it is. He will be a quarterback that he doesn't look the same. He'll be older, lightning rod of a personality. He's going to protect himself and say, well, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do if I'm going to decide to play football in 2025 because he doesn't know really what other NFL teams are thinking about him. And can he land in the perfect landing spot to try and win or end his career on a much more positive note than here in New York with the Jets? Or maybe it is here with the Jets, even though he hasn't had conversations with Woody Johnson, even though the Jets are in, you know, full search for a new GM and a new head coach. But I really don't think it's outlandish to think that Rodgers is back in 25. I really don't. You know, I'm not telling you it's going to look a hell of a lot better, but I'll tell you it can look a hell of a lot worse if you go in another direction. I mean, you're going to roll with Tyrod Taylor for the year. I mean, where exactly are you going to go if you're the New York Jets? And listen, it is going to be up to the GM and the head coach. Those guys are ultimately going to have the decision. And maybe the relationship between Rodgers and Woody Johnson have gone too far down the road to where, you know, he ends up being cut because there's too much that has been said, too much that has been done, and he wants to get away from everything and all the dysfunction that is here with the New York Jets. And if that's the case, you know, you'll look back on these 2 years. You give the Jets credit for taking the shot. You give the Jets credit for putting it out there and taking the gamble. And ultimately, well, the Jets were the Jets, and it didn't work. And it ended up being an unmitigated failure. You look back and you say, well, what could have been if he doesn't get hurt four plays into the Bills game 2 years ago and ruptures his Achilles? What does that year look like? And is that the building block year? Then you learn something, and this year looks decidedly different. Yeah, but that happened. And now you got to go with what you know now. And, you know, maybe it's a case of the decision's already been made from an ownership perspective. And we know how much control Woody has since he owns the team, running wild down there in Florham Park. But from a general manager and a head coach, if they feel that they can work with him, they're going to bring around the right culture. This team is all of a sudden going to be well coached. This is not a Jet team that is not without talent and ability. There is talent on this roster. It's got to be coached the right way. Game management clearly has got to get better. But can you roll it back and bring Rodgers back in 2025? Is there a pathway to do that? Yeah, I wouldn't completely close the door to that option. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Let's head out to White Plains. It's Frank. It's the fan. What's going on, Frank?
Moose, how are you, Moose?
Frank, I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. I hope you have a good holiday. Enjoy it. Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and all that good stuff.
You as well, Frankie.
And Moose, you know something? What happens, that's the problem, because Johnson, he owns the Jets, and it's very hard for Jets to survive and to do anything right, you know. But there was a really mistake. I don't agree with you that, like, yes, yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't mean that way, but they took a chance with Rodgers, but I know, you know, we all know that Rodgers don't have anything left anymore, and it was a big mistake to bring him here. And now he should just pack his suitcase and go, because really, really, not because they're going to do any good anyway, because Jets and Giants and New York football teams, they're getting so bad, and I have to watch. Thank God, you know, the Buffalo, it's in New York, so I'm watching Buffalo now.
The New York football. I mean, and I get the Bills are in New York, and they're Western New York. I understand that. I'm talking about New York, tri-state area football. It's terrible. I mean, it's brutal. Jets and the Giants. Giants, not as big of a disaster as the Jets, because the Jets came into this season with expectations. Like, there is talent on the New York Jets. Much more talent on the New York Jets as compared to roster-wise with the New York Giants. Rami does a great podcast with Bilal Powell, huge Jet guy, was out there rubbing elbows this past weekend with everybody, all the bigwigs with the New York Jets. Let me ask you this, Rami. Is Aaron Rodgers back next year as Jet quarterback?
If I had to guess, no.
Right now, no.
I would rather. By the way, he's 480 yards from breaking the single season passing record for the Jets.
Tells you a lot about New York Jet football.
I know, and I'm rooting for him to do it because I want it to look bad on the franchise. I think the stink should be on the franchise that this is one of the best quarterback seasons. All you talk about all for the past decades, all we need is the quarterback. All we need is the quarterback. And this is one of the best quarterback seasons you've had ever, and you still did nothing with it.
So, but right now you'd say he's not.
I think not, only because I think the relationship has been severed to the point where he'll just either retire, especially if he gets his 500th career touchdown the next couple of years.
He gets his 500th career touchdown. Do you think he's in the NFL next year?
No.
You do not. So you think it's Jets or bust?
I think it's Jets or bust. Now, if you bring in a Vrabel or a Gruden and they decide, hey, come on, let's run it back, Aaron. We'll get the team together. We'll make sure it's the right way, and we make sure that this is a functional thing going forward, this functional organization. Sure, yeah, of course. Then bring him back for 2025, and if he says yes to that, great. But the way I see it right now, he doesn't even mention the Johnsons by name. He's like, yeah, you know, the conversations I've had with the family, the different things he's saying now sounds like he doesn't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, we're a long way away from Woody giving him a call after they lost to the Minnesota Vikings over in Europe.
And oddly, that might have been the beginning of the downfall.
Yeah, the night before he fired Robert Saleh to spark the team, and then the team basically fell off the cliff. Woody, finger on that pulse. 11:37. Loots us with you. It's a Thursday midday, 888-808-1019.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
11:43, Malusis with you. A Thursday midday, The Fan in New York, 888-808-1019. Your number to call. Let's head out to New Milford, Joe. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Moose. Thanks for the call. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Joe.
So I want to tie this all together. It makes sense for both teams. Full transparency, I'm a Jets fan, so I've been suffering for a long time. But I totally agree with you, right? The position, number one position, you don't have anything without a quarterback. So for the Giants and the Jets, it all rests on that. But this is what I'll say. The second position, you can say it's corner, you can say it's edge rusher. The most premium position right now in the NFL is coach. If you don't have a coach, you don't have an identity. And neither team right now has an identity. So the Giants can draft whoever they want, Cam Ward, Shador. If they don't have a new coach that's going to give them an identity, like, you know, if we want to go back, Belichick and Parcells and Belichick together, Coughlin, you know, and Eli. And for the Jets, you know, you have to go further back. But even Rex, right, he gave the team an identity, even though that wasn't his roster. What I will say is this, though, the Rodgers conversation, to the point that was just made in the previous call, you know, he's not having a bad season. And the reality is the cap ramifications that occur with his contract being pushed back these couple of years, the best solution is for him to come back. And if there was any form of competent coaching on the Jets would still be in the hunt right now because they're what, 3-7, 3-8,
you're not wrong. I mean, they just embarrass themselves every week with their in-game decision making, especially at the end of game, clock management, and the like. I mean, you know, the idea of running the ball into the end zone against the Jaguars because you wanted more points and give Jacksonville an opportunity to get the ball back, I mean, makes little to no sense. Where you burn the timeouts, the Jag will kick the field goal. I know the place field goal kicking's been an issue this year, but you know, you would have made Jacksonville burn their two timeouts, and then they would have had the ball back with about 15 seconds to go, and you with the lead. I mean, those kind of situations you look at and you say, well, I mean, it's like the idiots are running the organization.
You look at all the great teams, not just the quarterback. Look at up until this past week, which Mahomes had a great night, right? But up until this past week, Mahomes and Rodgers are pretty much identical in every important statistic, almost to the yard, right? But the difference is not just Mahomes, right? It's Mahomes and arguably one of the top coaches in the history of the NFL. Tomlin, say what you want about him, he gives stability and an identity to that team. So without the coach, you have nothing. And Jets,
he does. I mean, the wheels
like
of
Salah.
Yeah, I mean, the wheels have come off a little bit. Yeah, you do need the coach. I'm not, I think the Jets are really poorly coached. Everyone said it this year. You don't have to be the greatest NFL fan to realize the Jets have not been a well-coached team and taken advantage of opportunities. So you look at it, yeah, they've got to find that guy. You're going to hire the general manager first, or you hire a guy like Vrabel and find out a guy that Vrabel can work with as the general manager and give him the keys to everything. But the biggest thing for the Jets is going to be the decisions that you have to think about if you're a Jet or a Giant fan is this. For a Jet fan, you wake up day after Christmas, right? Celebrating the holidays, ringing in a new year a week away is what are you going to get out of the way? For the Giants is, and I don't think it's a case of the Giants co-owner John Mara. The thing you have to kind of think about is this, is do both go? Does one go? If one goes, it would be the head coach. Let's head out to Monroe, New Jersey. It's Howard. It's the fan. What's going on, Howard?
How are you there, Moose? Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays, Howard. What's on your mind, bud?
Well, I would discuss the local football teams, but there's no sense beating a dead horse. Anyway, what I wanted to mention to you was about horse racing, actually. I met you at the Belmont Stakes with my buddy back when Justified won the Triple Crown. We spoke for a couple of minutes. You were as nice as can be. What I wanted to mention was, I know you like horse racing, that Freehold Racetrack is closing its doors forever this Saturday after, I think, about 170 years they've been open. So
I mean, I did not. I missed that, Howard. I did not know Freehold's closing.
Have you ever been to Freehold Racetrack before?
I have. Yeah, a long time ago, but yes, a long time ago.
The end of the road for that racetrack, I mean, it's only open 2 days a week, and you could probably count how many people are in that place and, you know, walking through the place one time. Another thing about when Belmont reopens next year in 26, they're going to have a fourth track at the Peter Track. I guess that's an all-year-round track, right?
Correct.
And is they plan on getting rid of Aqueduct now? Are they going with Belmont all year round after that?
I would imagine, yes, Howard, which would allow you to have, winter racing over at Belmont. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's been that would be my gut, is that Aqueduct would then close and it'd be Belmont all the year. I mean, that's been delayed, obviously. We'll see what it looks like. Hopefully Naira gets it right, and it's beautiful, no doubt. But sad about Freehold, but it's really where the state of racing is involving the equine athlete right now. Manhattan bound we go. It's Richard. What's going on, Richard?
Moose, it was too much football yesterday. I could have lived with a night game, 8 o'clock, and either an 8 o'clock game or 7, or 7 tonight or 7 on Christmas Eve. Two games during the NBA games. Those were great NBA games.
Great NBA. NBA had themselves a Christmas day. The NFL did not.
I love LeBron a couple of times there. I mean, he complains a lot. And he walks to the – he took 4 or 5 steps going to the basket. And they still called the
foul. Nobody cares about traveling in the NBA.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Don't nitpick, Richard. Just enjoy the grace and beauty.
Yeah, I understand. But the point is, and he's always complaining about calls. You know, and I love LeBron, but, you know, one hand washes the other. He gets away with a lot. I loved his point when he was interviewed after the game. He looked up at the camera. He said, I love NFL football, but Christmas Day is meant for the NBA. That was a great line. That was great. Now, during the game, you saw the play when Steph hit the 35-footer at the end to tie it, right?
Yes.
You saw that.
Bang, bang, the double bang by Mike Green,
okay.
Yes.
Now, they showed the replay. Doris Burke was very astute. She says, what are the L.A. players guarding these cutters going to the basket? Let them get the 2 points. She's exactly right. Why J.J. Redick didn't have two guys on Steph, he shouldn't have even gotten the ball. Any NBA coach worth his salt would have had two guys on Steph so that he doesn't get the ball. And then once he got the ball, he had about 5 feet of room. That was ridiculous.
Well, what do you mean you're criticizing the engagement farmer, J.J. Redick, as the Lakers head coach?
J.J. Redick should not have let Steph get the ball, no matter where on the court. He was the only one that could beat them at that point, and he could tie it with
my joke.
Say it again, Bruce?
Nothing. You didn't get my joke. It's okay.
Oh, okay. That was a terrible, terrible coaching decision there. And they're guarding the guys cutting to the basket for what?
Yeah.
So this is all coaching, obviously. But a great game and a great play by Austin Reeves at the end. And then the game after, Jokic, and the game before with the
Richard, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is this all top of the head, or are you working off notes?
No, this I can talk off. Usually I talk with notes, but this is just out of the oven, so I can talk.
But usually it's notes. Today, no notes.
No notes today. Bruce, when I talk to you, because you have a certain intelligence where I can talk freely with you. You bring that out in me, Bruce. That's why. Yeah. You're one of the hosts, one of the few, and I will say this, who listens to the caller.
Gotcha.
You don't have an agenda before somebody calls. I say this with all sincerity.
Wait, what's that?
You have no agenda when the call is called. You listen to what they say, and then you react afterwards.
I love you, Richard.
Moose, one last quick thing. Yeah, one quickie. If any of these top five running backs in the NFL, and you know who I'm talking about, Saquon, Derek, Christian, Joshua Jacobs, Jonathan Taylor, if any of them were available in the 2025 draft, how low would you go to picking one of these guys? In other words, would you take one of these five guys in the top five, in the top 10? Where would you take?
Where would I? I wouldn't go. Oh, that's a good question. If those guys right now were all rookies coming into this draft class, where would they go? Based on where the NFL is right now, I don't think anyone would go in the top 10. I don't. I think Barkley would probably go. I really like Jacobs when he's coming out of Alabama. Henry was kind of, people wanted downplay. They thought he ran too upright coming out of Alabama. But for a man his size, having his speed, what he has been on the NFL level, I mean, I think they'd all, and this is an NFL draft that doesn't go overall. The early indications is this draft class is not going to be one that is teeming with first round grades. I think they, conceivably speaking, would all get taken somewhere. Anywhere after 12 or after 10 to the 35-40 range, something like that. Keaton in Spring Lake is up next to the fan. What's going on, Keaton?
Hey, Moose. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it,
Keaton. I just want to call, regarding Jordan Travis on the Jets. I feel like everyone's kind of forgetting about him, and I hope whatever GM or head coach they bring in kind of, you know, takes a look at him and kind of lets him play a little bit, because he's a really, really good quarterback. I mean, just going back to Rodgers' game against the Jaguars when, you know, he rushed for almost 50 yards, was a leading rusher on that, you know, in that game, you know, and he passed for almost 300. Jordan Travis was doing that. I know college is different, but he was doing that almost every game. And if he's moving around in the pocket, that's something that the Jets need, you know, where they can, you know, run a little bit more run-pass options for the quarterback and kind of give him a little bit more of a, you know, be a Swiss Army knife for the team.
Yeah, I mean, Keaton, I like Travis out of Florida State. He suffered a gruesome injury, close out his college career, and they're giving him time to mend. Where do the Jets stand? I got to think that they're looking at him as somebody they want to try and develop. I don't think it's a case where they're going to say one way or the other whether or not he's part of their future or he's not. I don't think the Jets are going to be in a position to draft one of the top two quarterbacks, obviously. So could he get an opportunity here to develop under the guise and guidance of new leadership down in Florham Park? Yeah, I don't think that's out of the realm. You know, and I think if he didn't suffer the injury that he suffered, I don't think he would have fallen in the draft the way that he did. 11:55, Melusa's with you. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. It's a Thursday midday. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. A little post. Happy Hanukkah to one and all. We'll come back with your busy calls and more. Rolling right up until 2 right here, the Fan in New York.